Avidyne issues a safety alert for malfunctioning Integra PFDs. LAX gets some technological help avoiding incursions. And the KCX bidding war won't end with the announcement of a winner. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 28, 2008. Avionics manufacturer and OEM supplier Avidyne Corporation has issued an urgent safety alert following reports of incorrect altitude and airspeed information being displayed on some Integra EXP5000 primary flight displays manufactured or serviced in the past 7 months. No resulting accidents or incidents have been reported. The company says the occurrences included the incorrect display of information, such as altitude not matching field elevation or backup altimeter, indicated airspeed above zero at startup, or a steady or intermittent red X in place of the airspeed indicator, altimeter, VSI, or attitude indicator. Avidyne stresses that aircraft exhibiting any of these incorrect indications should not be flown, even if the indication later returns to normal. Should pilots encounter suspect PFD information in flight, Avidyne urges pilots to contact ATC for assistance, discontinue the flight at the earliest, safest opportunity, and stay out of instrument flight conditions. So far, the issue is thought to affect all Avidyne PFDs manufactured or serviced between July 27, 2007 and February 1st of this year. The final list of affected PFDs may differ pending Avidyne's investigation. We will keep you posted. New technology will be brought to bear on Los Angeles International Airport's recent spike of runway incursions. Acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill calls the new runway status lights another valuable tool that will, quote, give pilots and their passengers another layer of safety against potential runway accidents, unquote. The red lights are embedded in the pavement, interface to LAX's ground surveillance radar, and will illuminate to alert the pilot of a taxiing aircraft anytime another plane is on the runway he's about to cross or approaching to land on it. When the lights go out, pilots are not to proceed without clearance from controllers. The FAA says the system has proven effective at Dallas-Fort Worth and San Diego International, improving safety without reducing capacity or increasing controller workload. At LAX, the city will buy the equipment and the FAA will install, test, and maintain it. The estimated cost is $6 million, and testing is expected to start early next year. As of early this morning, there was still no word on whether Boeing or Northrop Grumman Eads had won the bidding for the U.S. Air Force's new KCX tanker contract. Official word from the Air Force now is not to expect it till Friday. Analysts generally say Boeing is the favorite to win the bid, but Governor Christine Gregoire of Washington State, where Boeing's KC-767 would be built, is already saying that if Boeing doesn't win, the state may pursue legal options. She tells the Seattle Post-Intelligencer those options could include seeking a congressional inquiry. The losing bidder is already entitled to appeal any decision to the Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress. Given the billions of dollars at stake, it's a safe bet Friday's announcement by the Air Force will not end this story. Industry analysts have said a Delta-Northwest Airlines merger appears to be unraveling. Now, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer quotes an open memo from Delta CEO Richard Anderson, which says Delta has not reached terms that meets all its principles. The letter was also signed by Delta President Ed Bastian. It says Delta expects a deal which keeps the Delta name, keeps the headquarters in Atlanta, protects seniority rights, job security, and career opportunities for its employees, preserves pensions, and strengthens its international network. Quote, we will not complete a transaction unless all of these conditions are met, unquote. Industry consultant Robert Mann of R.W. Mann & Company observed, quote, this is kind of a 2x4 across the head of the Northwest Merger Committee to either get in line or be the one that killed the deal, unquote. Meanwhile, over at Northwest, CEO Doug Steenland issued a somewhat more optimistic memo which said, quote, consolidation among the network carriers is inevitable, unquote. Up next on ANN, Eclipse Aviation christens its new service center at Albany. A United flight veers off a runway on landing at Jackson Hole. And U.S. Airways adds a surcharge for a second checked bag. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 28, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Eclipse Aviation announced the opening Wednesday of its third Eclipse Service Center during a ceremony at upstate New York's Albany International Airport. The 43,000-square-foot facility includes 8 maintenance bays in 30,000 square feet of hangar space and also houses storage, tooling, and customer service areas. About 24 employees, including 14 maintenance technicians, currently work at the center. Eclipse plans to increase employment to 50 by the end of the year. Technicians there will maintain the Eclipse 500 and its systems, including the Pratt & Whitney Canada PW610F engines, and install Avio NG upgrades. The Eclipse Service Center at Albany is owned by the Airport Authority, leased to Eclipse, and cost $8 million to build. New York State Senate Majority Leader Joseph Bruno is pleased so far with the results of the investment. Quote, "The center is already creating high-quality technical jobs, and we know it will make the airport, as well as the capital region, an important destination for the people who own and operate the Eclipse 500," unquote. The FAA's Flight Standards District Office in Albuquerque monitors the center and is responsible for continued site supervision. The National Transportation Safety Board dispatched 2 investigators to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, to investigate an incident in which a United Airlines jet veered off the side of a runway. On Monday at 9:16 p.m. Mountain Time, an Airbus A320 operated by United as Flight 267 ran off the right side of runway 19 during landing at Jackson Hole. The crew and 119 passengers evacuated via the emergency slides in about 3 feet of snow. No serious injuries have been reported, and the plane did not appear to suffer structural damage. The airplane was arriving from Denver. Reported weather at the airport Monday night was calm winds, visibility 10 miles, and overcast at 3,200. The captain and first officer have both been interviewed, and voice and data recorders have been taken to NTSB headquarters in Washington, D.C. It's looking like United Airlines' move to charging for your second checked bag is spreading. U.S. Airways announced on Tuesday it will join United in the policy of allowing one free checked bag, but charging $25 for the second one starting May 5th. Both airlines will continue to allow frequent flyers and reward program participants 2 free checked bags. U.S. Airways says it also won't charge first class, active military personnel, unaccompanied minors, or people checking wheelchairs or strollers. A statement from the airline blamed rising costs. Quote, "We simply must make changes to the way we do business to provide all of you with the high level of service that you've come to expect from U.S. Airways." Actually, U.S. Airways and United have often ranked near the bottom of airline performance and customer satisfaction lists in the past few years, that ranking driven in part by mishandled baggage. Well, at least now there may be fewer bags to crush or lose. CAE, the company which started in 1947 as Canadian Aviation Electronics, now does $1 billion in annual business specializing in training and simulators in the military and commercial sectors. The company announced this week its first 5000 series full flight simulator, an A320 sim located at CAE's Burgess Hill Training Center in the UK, has achieved Level D certification from the UK's Civil Aviation Authority. Chris Hope, head of crew training for EasyJet, is impressed. Quote, "We've been working closely with CAE on testing and evaluating the 5000 series full flight simulator prior to Level D qualification, and can confirm the simulator flight characteristics deliver a high-quality representation of the A320 aircraft, unquote. CAE announced the 5000 series as part of its 60th anniversary celebration in March of last year. The 5000 series targets operators of high-volume, commercial, narrow-body aircraft, such as the Boeing 737 and the Airbus A320, as well as emerging training requirements for multi-crew pilot license and very light jet market segments. In addition to its own training centers, CAE says it has orders for the Series 5000 from Lufthansa Flight Training, Ryanair, Embraer, and Qantas. Still ahead, the FAA says it won't force changes in 737s with finicky flaps. NASA's next manned moon mission will have much better tools. And an Indiana pilot sets out to open a new chapter in the aviation record books. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 28, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. Federal regulators have decided not to require any changes to Boeing 737-400s to address flap extension problems, which occurred on four Alaska Airlines flights in January. All four cases involved 737s known as combis, as in combination, meaning planes which have special equipment to allow them to convert back and forth between passenger and cargo duty. In each case, flaps could not be fully extended during landings, lengthening runway requirements, and triggering routine emergency declarations by the pilots. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that two FAA spokesmen say Alaska Airlines operation and maintenance complies with applicable regulations. A temporary fix for the problem was made by simply removing the doors, which cover the flaps. In allowing Alaska to continue operating the planes without a permanent solution, the FAA acknowledges it has not found a definitive cause for the problems last month. Boeing says it is supporting Alaska Airlines' ongoing investigation. NASA's return to the surface of Earth's moon will benefit from tools beyond imagining in the Apollo era. During 2006, scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, used the Deep Space Network's Goldstone Solar System radar, located in California's Mojave Desert, to image some possible landing areas near the moon's south pole. Goldstone aims a 500,000-watt radar signal toward space and collects reflections using parabolic dish antennas 112 feet in diameter. The resulting images have a resolution of 66 feet per pixel. That's 50 times as good as the previous generation images made using the Clementine spacecraft. Doug Cook, Deputy Associate Administrator for the Exploration Systems Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C., says the data will be a big help in planning landings in the region. Quote, "We now know the South Pole has peaks as high as Mount McKinley and crater floors four times deeper than the Grand Canyon. There are challenges that come with such rugged terrain, and these data will be an invaluable tool for advanced planning of lunar missions," unquote. The U.S. space program's next big advancement in lunar imaging will come with NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, scheduled for launch late this year. Its pictures will have a resolution of just over 3 feet per pixel, or 20 times better than Goldstone. Chris Maynard of Fishers, Indiana, hopes to set off a new kind of competition for aviators. Beginning Saturday, the FAI and NAA, the governing bodies of world and U.S. aviation records, will begin to recognize aircraft efficiency as a new category of world aviation records, and Maynard hopes to be the inaugural record holder in the category. So, will he be flying some exotic, one-of-a-kind motorized glider built by Scaled Composites? Not even close. Think Aviat Husky. Maynard's Husky A1A is equipped with a Lycoming O360 engine and a 76-inch Hartzell propeller. Low power settings used throughout the flight are expected to yield a fuel burn rate of about 4 gallons per hour. The course Maynard will have to fly will be a triangular course of at least 1,190 kilometers, or 740 statute miles in length. The course must be flown nonstop and be non-refueled. The location for the record attempt has not yet been selected. Because this is an international record attempt, it will be measured in metric units. Maynard says the Husky is a remarkable airplane. Quote, "Last summer, I tested the endurance limits of my Husky during a nonstop flight that lasted 13 hours, 2 minutes, 15 seconds. To put this performance in perspective, I can tell you that in 1986, the Voyager, piloted by Dick Rattan and Jana Yeager, would have recorded an efficiency rating of about 13.84 kilometers per kilogram. That's about 23.45 miles per gallon. My Husky will, hopefully, post a record of about 12.2 kilometers per kilogram. That converts to about 20.7 miles per gallon and represents about 88% of the fuel efficiency of the Voyager. That's not bad for a production aircraft," unquote. Maynard says his initial goal is twofold. Quote, "First, I want to post an efficiency mark that is respectable, and being the first person in the world to do so will be icing on the cake. My second goal is to draw attention to the record category itself and help focus competitive energy throughout the aeronautical industry towards improving airplane efficiency," unquote. Maynard is not new to record attempts. He's posted 10 world and U.S. aviation records in the past few years, including a United States transcontinental speed record. And finally, three Colorado residents vacationing in Naples, Florida, are being called very lucky after the Cessna 177B in which they were flying apparently ran out of fuel and came to rest in a tree 40 feet above the ground. A man and woman were stuck in the cabin. They were rescued by a fire department ladder truck. They were described as conscious and alert and taken to a hospital as a precaution. Another man, apparently the pilot, was thrown four stories to the ground in the impact. Miraculously, he was found crawling for help near a highway in the area, complaining of, quote, "a busted knee," unquote. None of the plane's occupants were immediately identified. And so, a happy ending. And a reminder for firefighters, answering those calls to rescue cats stuck up in trees may actually be scenario-based training in disguise. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we look back to February 2006, when now-bankrupt Adam Aircraft was celebrating the first flight of its second A700 very light jet, and ANN's Jim Campbell got a very bright outlook from Adam's sales chief, Joe Walker. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero.news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.